This is News Talk.
Okay, so there are some good news stories in the papers today, and I promise I will get to them, but we have to deal with obviously what's on the front pages, and it's all to do with COVID-19 and with restrictions and all of that stuff. We'll begin with the Irish Independent. Christmas is curtailed as COVID curbs to return earlier. And the Irish Independent has had a look at what NPHET's recommending, and it looks like we can say bye-bye to the 6th of January for the lifting of restrictions being in place. It's going to be much, much earlier. Christmas and New Year festivities will be curtailed as the government looks at reimposing restrictions on household visits and the hospitality sector on December 28th instead. Obviously, from today, people can travel outside their county for the first time since October. However, NPHET wants travel restrictions to be tightened again in 10 days' time, and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan saying home visits should be reduced to just one other household from 3 days after Christmas Day, and pubs and restaurants should shut from this date. Now, the Cabinet is going to meet on Tuesday to consider the recommendations. Already, though, some questions being asked why they're waiting until Tuesday, and is it fair to leave the Irish people waiting, what, 4 or 5 days before they get an answer as to what happens immediately after Christmas? So we'll see. Like, the Cabinet meeting is scheduled for Tuesday. We might get more details over the weekend, though, on what exactly they're planning. Front of the Irish Examiner, COVID limits to return by the new year. They also quote the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who was on primetime last night, rejecting the idea. Did I say Taoiseach or Tánaiste? It's Tánaiste, the Leo Varadkar, rejecting the idea that the government's decision to open hospitality and allow household visits for December was a mistake. And this is something you're going to see more and more people talk about. We opened up the country, we opened up gastropubs, restaurants, retail, all of that stuff. Now the question is, was that a mistake when you see the numbers? But Leo Varadkar said he understood people would be disappointed that their New Year's plans will be disrupted, but said the trajectory of the virus was not where the government or NPHET wanted, and he said if numbers continue to rise, impending restrictions may have to be tougher. And it's just fascinating when you think 24 hours ago we were talking about restaurants looking to open for an extra hour on New Year's Eve, and now it looks like they won't be open at all. The Irish Times, restrictions likely to be tightened before the new year. That paper says that the government will also consider a NPHET recommendation that inter-county travel be restricted after Christmas and before New Year's Eve, so we'll have a again, people being asked to stay in their county. So very much a return to what we're used to. Also on the front of the Irish Times, and it's also on the front of the Irish Independent, away from COVID, some positive news if you're a first-time buyer, because the government is going to take a 30% stake in your mortgage. This is a really interesting story. A new affordable housing plan will see the state take up to 30% equity in a home with a first-time buyer. Cabinet's going to consider this next week, and the state would put in up to 30% of the equity to help finance the purchase of a new home, and when it came to eligibility for the scheme, there would be no arbitrary salary caps. Now, it looks like there will be a cap of €400,000, so you wouldn't be able to get into a house worth more than €400,000, but if you do the maths on it, and the Irish Independent does this, so if you can manage to save €40,000 of a deposit, right, you can then get a mortgage of €260,000, which I presume most of the banks would be favourable enough to. If you have 40 grand of a deposit, they'll give you a mortgage of 260,000. Then you could have the state pay 100 grand on top of that, and suddenly you now live in a house worth €400,000. I'm sure all of this will be teased out over the weekend, but that's the plan that'll go to Cabinet this week. Another story on the front of a number of the papers, including the Irish Times, is about Joanne Hayes, and the state will today officially apologise and award substantial compensation to her, and she was wrongly accused of murdering a baby found on a beach more than 35 years ago. Of course, this is known as the Kerry Babies scandal, and really it's a flashback to our dark, dark past, and it's believed Joanna Hayes will share in a €2.5 million damages payout along with her siblings as well as her daughter. The family launched legal proceedings against the state last year, asking the High Court to declare all findings of wrongdoing made against them by a tribunal as unfounded and incorrect. Joanna Hayes was single, and she was accused of being baby John's mother and of murdering him, and her family were accused of concealing that death as well. So finally some closure for that family. The Irish Independent has a story that always gets people talking, and this is TDs spending money on calendars. And we're told that Willie O'Dea and Michael Healy-Ray have topped the list of TDs using taxpayers' money to print calendars for constituents. And they've printed almost 60,000 calendars between them. Sinn Féin TD Maurice Quinlivan has used the Oireachtas printing service for 3,000 Christmas cards to spread festive cheer. His constituency rival Willie O'Dea has had 39,000 calendars printed. Michael Healy-Ray spent €556 on 20,000 larger A4 sized calendars, and his brother Danny Healy-Ray had 8,400 calendars printed at a cost of €283. The defence that TDs will often use with this is that they have important numbers, emergency numbers, numbers for how you can get help for certain things printed on these calendars. But as I say, it's something that will get people talking, and let's not even mention the Dáil printer this morning. I don't think anyone wants to talk about it this morning. I'm just looking at some of the British papers. Don't see it mentioned too much in the Irish papers, but Emmanuel Macron has obviously tested positive for COVID-19. Taoiseach Micheál Martin had to go and get a test yesterday. He's tested negative, which means he can come into studio here on News Talk Breakfast this morning for an interview. But I didn't realise Emmanuel Macron, the French president, shook hands with someone recently, just before he was confirmed as positive. I mean, who is shaking hands these days? It's just bizarre. But he said he made a mistake. He certainly did, by shaking someone's hand before testing positive. And he admitted the error hours after it emerged he was ill, prompting a Europe-wide bid to trace others he may have affected. I mean, I don't know who is going around shaking hands anymore. But anyway, other story for you. It's a really lovely story in the Irish Independent this morning about a woman called Maggie Timmins. And she's had many, many birthdays, but few have been quite as special as her 103rd birthday. And that's because the Cavan woman got to see her husband John for the first time in months, which she said was the best present she could have asked for. Now, if you're quite emotional this morning, it's likely you'll tear up reading this. It's such a sad story. Maggie celebrated her birthday yesterday at Oakview Nursing Home in Belturbet, where she's a resident. And she hasn't seen her husband, John, since the second lockdown began earlier this year. So obviously that made the reunion very, very special. But she wasn't able to give John a kiss because he was wearing a mask. But Maggie said she was thrilled that we could at least hold hands. And she says, if we survive another year, we'll be 70 years married. And she said, John's a great husband. It's the most beautiful story. Lovely picture in the Irish Independent. And this is the second pandemic that Maggie has encountered. But she doesn't remember the Spanish flu because she was like, what, one at the time. But anyway, lovely, lovely story for you there. What else do we have? Oh, yeah, two final stories I'll give you very, very quickly. First one is from the Irish Daily Star about the things that can go wrong at Christmas. And here's the top things that can go pear-shaped. A burnt turkey, forgetting to get batteries for new toys, and buying the wrong present are among the things which could spoil our Christmas. I'm after buying a present for someone, and I just saw yesterday that you need 12 AAA batteries, if you don't mind, for the present. So I have to go off and get them now. A study of 2,000 adults found a quarter have at some point ruined Christmas by overlooking something important. Adults would also be mortified if they forgot to buy a family member a present or discovered the turkey was still raw inside. Yeah, absolutely. Just buy a few bottles or a few boxes of sweets and you'll be fine. And lastly comes from the Times of London, and it's the age-old question, is Die Hard actually a Christmas movie or not? And it turns out that it is. The Hollywood film Die Hard has become a festive television treat as its main character struggles to spend Christmas with his estranged wife. It has rarely been described as heartwarming, however, and film buffs have debated heatedly over whether the Bruce Willis action thriller counts as a Christmas movie or not. By the way, in the past, Bruce Willis says Die Hard is not a Christmas movie because it's a goddamn Bruce Willis movie, he says. But the Times of London says that the director of the film, John McTiernan, has now tried to explain how a film as gruesome as Die Hard became a Christmas treat, and he said he didn't intend to make Die Hard a Christmas classic, but it is one now, and the joy that came from it is what turned it into a Christmas movie. So if you're ever asked, is it a Christmas film? Yes, it absolutely is. There we go. That's from the Times of London.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com, this is News Talk.